feel their hearts coming forth and worship, man. That was tremendous. It was the first time they did it. No practice. Good job. Amen? Tremendous. Amen. You made it, sissy. Was it bad coming down the hill? Oh, you went around. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Everything's better with salt. Bacon. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to ask you a question. How do we represent God? I just want us to think about that. How do we represent Him? How do I present God? Your behavior. Loving people. Actions. Praying for people. You know, sometimes we have to cause ourselves to be aware that it's not something that we just do, it's something we are. Because the Bible teaches us and declares something to us. It says that we are to walk in the Spirit. You know, sometimes we come to church and we experience the presence, the tangible, the feelings, the emotion, the awe-ness. Come on, we all feel that. There's times that we just, you really... But I want us to recognize that for some reason, sometimes, we don't associate with that Spirit never leaves us. That same Spirit that caused you to feel the way that you did is always with you. See, when you receive the Holy Spirit, He doesn't come and go. Amen? Now, we can ultimately turn our ear and not adhere to Him. And what happens is, that's what happens when we don't walk in the Spirit, is we begin to turn our ear toward it, and we begin to feel that less of the presence and less of the power of it. But I want us just to hear something. I felt this in my heart, and I want us just to learn something. Every one of us to experience this and to get this, that as we walk in the Spirit and to learn how to walk through the Spirit, like, do I understand, do I know that the Spirit is with me, that what comes out of me is Spirit. That I need to let that flow out of me. So what happens is, this is what we do, is when we first get saved, we have a natural way of living our lives. And it's based upon a simple word, the flesh, or ego. And ego is that self gratifying, self fulfilling, indulging, I have to take care of myself. See, we have that in us. It's our flesh. Because what happens is we walk that way. And so what we do is we begin to learn to experience things that way, to treat people certain ways based upon our ego, based upon that flesh. And we respond to people based upon that way sometimes. So it's the way that I treat people. I have to stop and say, is this my ego or is this the Spirit? See, you know what I'm saying? Some people say, well, this is a one statement that people make. And he says, well, I'm only human. Well, no, I'm Spirit. We have to understand that I am, but yet we can't go with that because that's an excuse. And I have to represent Christ 24/7, that I learn that. And it's practicing it. It's learning it. Do we know that's what we do? Come on, amen. We're learning. We're practicing it. I said, and some people didn't, I don't know if they caught it, really grabbed it though, but we go from one womb to another womb. See, when you become born again, you're born again. That means you've come out of a womb. Remember, he talked to Nicodemus and he said, Nicodemus, he says, well, how do I enter back into the womb? Remember he said that? They couldn't get a grip of it. And Jesus made that point that we come forth in the Spirit. We're birthed in the Spirit. So we're being birthed continually. We're coming forth out of something. You're being birthed out of the Spirit into something new, into another experience, into another realm. You're learning and growing. So what we have to learn to do is we learn to hear. That's what we need to learn. To walk in the Spirit, you have to learn to begin to hear and to begin to move in it and to begin to walk in it and to begin to practice that and stop. And we have to recognize, is this my ego? Is this something I've learned? Is this the way I've learned? And what we got to get with that is it's the way that somebody will respond to somebody. Because I know someone said this to me a while ago. This is one guy where, well, he's just that way. He just, and that is something that is in him that it has to be uprooted because it becomes part of you. And what it is a self-protection where you respond a certain way, retaliate or say certain things quickly. And that's the ego. That's that part of us that is protecting so that I don't get hurt first. I'm going to say something. Comfort zone. I'm going to say something to you before you say something to me. Safety. Yeah. That I'm going to offend you before you offend me. Because I'm safe. I'll feel safe in that. You know, I'm going to say something. She thought I was going to say something. Say something. Guilty. So, I'm sorry. I won't do that. Well, I just want us to learn this, and I really encourage everybody to really. Saturday is just another time that we're going to go from this next realm into the next part, and I ended with it and. And I might not, shouldn't have gotten it because I really could explain what I was trying to say is about the birthing wives, the midwives. And that's a very important for me to try to declare that because that's why I want to bring this out tonight because the midwives speak of the Holy Spirit that is with us. That whatever's against us, we have to understand that God is working for us. How's God working for us? He's working in the Spirit for you. So what happens is sometimes we work against God and not with God. Yeah, and God's trying to get us to respond to the Spirit, and we wonder why some things don't go right sometimes, but it's us working against God and not with God. And we have to learn to walk in the Spirit, to move in the Spirit, to hear the Spirit, and to reflect, and to constantly be aware of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, sometimes we do get away from that, and we kind of get our taste of the Holy Spirit just in church instead of realizing that He's with us, and He's always with us. Amen. So, I wanted to share something and talk about walking in the Spirit, and we can find that in Galatians 5. And I wanted to read this part first because we have to understand something. And I just want to explain something too to you all here, leaders and disciples, that when Jesus came, sometimes we read the Bible without this understanding. And sometimes we need to kind of teach this. That what happened was, Jesus, sometimes it sounds like he's preaching the commandment. Because remember the guy, how do I get life? He says, well, you need to do this. Remember he said the commandments? Well, why did he say the commandments? Because we're not to follow that anymore. But see, they were still under the law. Jesus didn't go to the cross yet. So they were still fulfilling the requirements that were there. Even Jesus told the one man, go to the priest and show them you're healed to reach the requirements. See, they were coming out of one age. That's why it says the end times. That end time speaks of coming out of the Old Testament into the new. Okay? So Jesus is reflecting as he's sharing this. So here's what it is. So even in the going from Hebrews to Romans and Galatians, all these, 40 years they were transitioning. See, because it was 40 years before the temple that they came every year to sacrifice. They still did it after Christ. But Jesus says that this temple will... Remember, he said that this temple, you'll no longer have to do this anymore. This temple's going to fall. This temple's going to... There will be no more requirement that way no more. So it took those years. And then what happened? The Romans came. They burned the temple. They destroyed it. They took it all out. Everything was completely destroyed. And it was at the end of that. There was no more, no excuses. They worked themselves out of that. So he gave them a transition time of 40 years. So when we read that Bible, sometimes we read it and we look, well, are we under the law? We're not under the law. He fulfilled every requirement, but he gave them the grace of 40 years to come out of that law. And we can hear it with Paul. Now, it's funny because they talk about circumcision. Now, it was such a... To us, we don't even think about it. Guys more than women, But when you're a child, and they do that for health reasons and stuff like that, it's just God do something more than we did. But it's not a requirement. But here's the thing. Paul was trying to talk to these Jews because they were having a problem in their church. And the problem was they felt that you had to be circumcised. Paul says you can be circumcised or not, but it doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. See, they were putting a requirement on them that you have to do this. And when they did that, what happened is they made Christ, what he did, of no effect. That it was Jesus and something else. No, it's Jesus and nothing else. It's just Jesus. And this is why I'm teaching you that we need to walk in the Spirit, because God gives you the ability to get in that vehicle and drive in the Spirit. It is your choice. We're not bound by any rules. We've been free, and it's our choice to walk in the Spirit. That's beautiful. We can deliberately ignore the Holy Spirit, knowing right from wrong, knowing what's wrong, what's right, because it's in us. Or we can respond to Him and grow and learn and produce something. Be effective and be His witnesses in the earth, only in the Spirit. So here's what they were doing. They literally were spying on people in the bathroom. Honestly, they were checking to see if each other was circumcised. I'm not making this up. Literally, I'm trying to make a point. You know, I mean, it sounds crude, but literally that's what they were doing. And they were telling on one another, he's not circumcised, or he's not, or that person is. They need to get circumcised. And they were putting this requirement on one another, and Paul says, enough of this. It's not about that. It's about the Spirit. And I want you to know that this is the thing that sometimes even churches and pastors, what happens is they try to do the job of the Holy Spirit and cause people to, put a requirement on them to feel that if they don't do this or that, that God doesn't love them. That's really what happens. I know you're not around that. I do not present that. But like there's a requirement that if you miss, like even tonight, if someone didn't miss because it was bad out, I'm not going to cast a curse on you. But there's something within you that says, I want to come. See, that's what God wants. He wants a relationship with you that's not based upon requirements about do's and don'ts. It's about you being. And that's where it's powerful. See, that's what becomes powerful. That's where it becomes illuminating. And I deal with sometimes some people that you know, I have a good bit of people sometimes where they kind of break away a little bit and they don't come and they call me and say, I know I need to get back. I don't say a word. They're telling me how bad they need to be in church. See, I want you to know that's the Spirit of God. That's not me dictating or putting a bound on them to say, you got to be here. And if you're not here, blah, 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 God's not going to love you or you're not going to experience, blah, blah, whatever it is. Do you see what I'm saying? Putting this requirement. So that's what was happening here. They were putting these requirements on them. And let me just read this to you. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Just for freedom, that you would be free. See, he put that, and the only way to be free, truly, is by the Spirit. Therefore, keep standing firm. Do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery, which you once were removed. Notice Paul, who tells you that if you receive circumcision, he says, I, Paul, who tells you that if you, as supposed to requirement of salvation, Christ will be of no effect, no benefit. This is the Amplified. Mine's just a little different. Christ will be no benefit, for you will lack the faith in Christ that is necessary for salvation, because it becomes a requirement. And you lose that base of understanding salvation, walking in the fullness of that freedom that you really do have. That's what's powerful. Do you see what I'm saying? That's what grace is. And this is the hard thing, that you have to preach grace, that God loves you no matter what. But you have to understand that to have that grace and to walk and experience it, you have to walk in the Spirit. And that means to obey. It's just something that will come out to you. It is something that you begin to learn to do. You begin to walk in that. Those things where you know, man, I shouldn't do this. And you don't do it. That's growth. There's something happening. You're beginning to cause yourself to respond to the Spirit. And He gives you that strength. When there's things that you know that you struggle with, you say, Holy Spirit, give me strength here. Give me the power to walk it out this. That I don't have to go through these things. That I don't have to do this. And He wants to help you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to have this relationship. Amen? So, and He says, Christ will be of no effect. He says, once more, solemnly affirm to every man who receives circumcision, as opposed to requirement of salvation, that he is under obligation required to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ, if you feel this way. If you seek to be justified, that is declared free of guilt of sin and penalty, placed in the right standing with God through the law, you have fallen from grace. It's not about that. It's not about those things. It's not about those certain things that they've done, those requirements that were made. It wasn't about that. He says, for we don't rely on the law, but through the strength of the power of the Holy Spirit, by faith, waiting confidently for the hope of righteousness, the completion of our salvation. For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but only faith activated and expressed, working through love. You are running the race well. Who has interfered and prevented? He begins to talk about who is this that's doing this to you? And he corrects it, that person, by saying that. Some accuse me let me jump down here. For you, my brothers, were called to be free. Only do not let your freedom become an opportunity for sinful nature. This is in verse 13. But through love, serve and seek the best for one another. For the whole law concerning human relationship is fulfilled in one precept. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, see, that is the breaking of the ego. That's why Jesus said this. Because He said that is the key right there. That you love others, love your neighbors, amen, more than yourself. You're putting somebody first. You're putting that. Not like you're putting yourself in a lower place, not by any means, but you're placing that. You're beginning to set a standard. You're putting that person out in front of you. Amen? That the Holy Spirit can lead and guide you. Then what happens is some people say, yeah, but that's why some people are afraid to open themselves up. Why? Because they're afraid they get hurt. Or they're this or that. But listen to me. We move in the Spirit. What happens is if we fear that thing, then what we're doing is looking for that person to give us something to us. We have to look to God to give us that thing. I always say this, like husbands and wives, that your wife or your husband or whoever that is not required. We put so much responsibility for that person to be the source of our happiness. And they're not. They can add to it. They can add to it. I wouldn't want it any other way. But my wife adds to my happiness. But it's God that is the source of my happiness. See what I'm saying? So I have to learn to understand that, okay, as I put others before myself, then what I do is I begin to open myself up to the Spirit, that if somebody does fail me, the Spirit of God that's within me will heal me. I'll get over it. I'll overcome it. You could, whatever you do, Jesus says, remember He said that you can do anything you can to me, you can't hurt me. Why? Because He's moving the Spirit. Think about all the three people that hurt Him, that abused Him, that said things to Him, and He still went to the cross. Why? Because He was led by the Spirit. He was able to forgive when no one forgave him or no one cared about him or this or that, whatever that is. So he says, but if you bite and devour one another in bickering and strife, watch out that you along your entire fellowship are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk habitually, I like that word, in the Holy Spirit. Seek Him and be responsive in His guidance. And then you will certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard to God and His precepts. For a sinful nature has its desire, which is opposed to the Spirit, and the desire of the Spirit opposes the sinful nature. For these two, sinful nature and spirit, are in direct opposition of each other, continually in conflict, so that you as a believer do not always do whatever is good. See, this is what I mean. This is what you understand. This is why sometimes we still struggle. Because they're in opposition to each other, continually conflict, so that you as believers do not always do whatever good things you want to do. But if you are guided and led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the practice of the sinful nature is clearly evident. There is sexual immorality, impurity, total irresponsibility, lack of self-control, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of rage, disputes, dissensions, factions that promote heresy, envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and other things like these. He says, I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen, he says that they will not inherit the kingdom of God, that they will not participate in what he did, in a sense, right now. Say right now. See, Jesus died that we would have life and life more abundantly right now. Not just someday when we die and go to heaven. See, he wants to walk in the Spirit now. To walk in that. To experience it. And he says that you can't experience it with those producing in our lives. Responding to those things. You know what I mean? Like anger and all those different things. But he's saying, he made a point before he even started that. He says, we struggle sometimes with these because it's our old nature. But we have to understand that I have a new nature and I need to learn to hear and practice walking in that. Causing my flesh to submit to the Spirit. That's not always easy. It's that when you know in your heart and you say, this isn't wrong. This is wrong. Or this is the, and we have to push it back. And let the, if you push it back, guess what happens? The Spirit moves forward. He says, and I warn you beforehand, as previously, but the fruit of the Spirit, the results of the presence within us. Now listen, fruits can only be produced from a root of that source. Okay? So you have to be rooted in the Spirit to produce the fruit. Because you are produced of that kind as a result of being rooted in that. It will just happen. So it's something that you don't have to try to do. It'll just happen. It'll be a result of your life. It'll come out of you without no trying to do it or trying to work it up. It'll happen. And he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is presence is love, unselfish concern for others within us. Joy, peace, patience. Patience meaning not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature together with its passions and appetites. And the Bible says to pick up your cross daily. And when what's happening is whenever we are crucifying the flesh, we crucify that, it's picking up our cross daily. It's bearing that cross. It's understanding it's a daily thing that flesh is crucified. Amen? Am I making sense? You're okay. If we claim to live by the Holy Spirit, we must also walk by the Spirit with personal integrity, godly character, moral courage, our conduct empowered by the Holy Spirit. We must not become conceited, challenging, or provoking one another, envying one another. If anyone is caught in any sin, this is what he's declaring, you who are spiritual, this is the sign of maturity. This is. That is, that you who are responsive to the guidance of the Spirit of God are to restore such person in the spirit of gentleness, not with a sense of superiority or self-righteousness, keeping a watchful eye on yourself so that you are not tempted as well. Carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the requirements of the law. That is the law of Christian love. For if anyone thinks he is something special when in fact he is nothing special except in his own eyes, he deceives himself. But each one must carefully scrutinize his own work, examining his actions, his attitudes, and behavior, his ego. Then he can have a personal satisfaction on the inner joy of doing something commendable without comparing himself to another. See, say stay in your lane. See, that is a result of walking in the Spirit. Is everybody has this ego thing in us. Everybody does. That when you see somebody do, well, I wouldn't have pushed the same button Randy did. Or I could do the door better than, or I could do this. Or we look at other ministry, we look at other things, we look at other people, and we have to catch ourselves. Come on, I'm just being real here. Every one of us have this. Sometimes we look and we think in our head, we'll think about this. Well, I might have baked it different than Renee. Or I wouldn't have, Renee. But listen, what we do is, see, that's our ego. See, that's where the battle happens. See, when our spirit's trying to get in the lead, what our ego does is scrutinizes. Tries to find fault. Because, listen, that's the way it's fed. When we respond to it, eats it up. See, listen, remember this. Remember when God cursed the devil, said, put him on the ground, became a snake. And he says, you will eat of the dust of the earth. Dust, flesh. So he eats the flesh. How do you feed the devil? Flesh. See, when we do those things, we scrutinize people, we find fault with one another. You're feeding the devil. See, we can't let happen. See, we can't scrutinize because we need to take care of ourselves. We need to watch ourselves. We need to make sure that we're okay, that I'm taking care of myself. And if you do see that fault, man, how can I help that person? How can I help them? I don't want to find fault in that. I want to try to heal and help them because it could come my way. So the devil, we find out, is a snake. But in Revelation, he becomes a dragon. Because why? He ate the flesh. It's the only way he becomes big. That's the only way he has any place. That is no place in me because I'm not feeding him. We don't even make an effort here. We just feed him whenever we respond to the flesh the way that we do. Backbiting and scrutinizing and doing those things. So for us as a church, us as a people, to continue to move forward, to be powerful, we have to specifically check ourselves and to see what fruit am I producing with this? What am I connected to? Where's this from? Am I moving in the ego and my own flesh, or am I walking in the Spirit? Am I responding to the Spirit? Am I growing more today than yesterday. That's what we need to do this year. That this year that we place a meter on ourselves. Not one another, but just ourselves, to say, am I going to grow this year? Am I going to get through these things? Am I going to be this more? Am I going to? Because what happens is, when I do respond that way, then guess what? Those people are eating the Spirit. They're eating the good part. What God wants people to take from. And then all of a sudden we wonder why there's so many problems going on. We become the answers of the problem. We begin to answer problems. We begin to solve situations. You know, I could just say this. Somebody texted me immediately after a service one time. Power of God was moving in the service. It was a powerful message. And that person texted me something immediately after the service. After I preached, about an issue that they were sitting on that was attack. I'm telling you, it was attack within them that he couldn't even hear what the Spirit was saying. Because in that message was their answer. But they were so concerned to feed that anger that was within them that they couldn't let the Spirit be fed. And no matter what I said, wouldn't matter. Because they weren't looking for that. They just wanted to feed their flesh. And I don't feed flesh. Someone else's. I have a hard time keeping my own flesh dead. Let alone trying to feed somebody else's. Am I making sense? So as we understand that, every one of us want to mature, to go farther in the understanding with God and walk in the reality of it. We literally really do. Why would we be here? We do want to do that. So what we need to do, continue to do this, is to look after one another. And especially the Wednesday people, that when we see flesh, we bring Spirit. We present, we don't eat with them. We serve up some Spirit. Instead of criticizing together, we lift up together. We break it. And we learn to do that. See, you know, and say to ourselves that together we do it, as each one of us do it, as every one of us begin to do that, then we become the majority. That's what happens. We become the culture. Whatever the culture is, you become. You go into a certain place, you go into a certain, whatever that culture is, you do it. Because you're part of that culture. And if you go against it, it's a conflict. So what happens is we are building culture. That's what we're doing. We're building a culture. And we say, I'm responsible here, every one of us, as a body, to build the culture of the house. And that's love. It's love. It's being concerned for one another. Loving one another above ourselves. My own hurt, my own ego, above my own ego. Above my own praise. Above my own glory. Above my own pridefulness. Put it aside. Like I always say, that we love one another more than we have to be right. We love one another more than... Because that's maturity. That's maturity. See, our ego wants to be right. Our ego wants to be right. But the Spirit, just trusting the Spirit, preferring one another, loving one another, and that builds character in our lives. That I'm not dependent upon that ego. I'm dependent upon the Spirit, what the Spirit says. And it produces that. I'm good enough. Worthy. I'm valuable. I don't need this or that to prove it. I don't need to criticize you. I always say that says that you cut a short person cuts the legs off a tall person to feel better. Or vice versa, whatever, you know. To try to cut the legs off somebody else, to bring them where you are. Instead of appreciating where they are and say, wow, I want to be there. I want to get where you are. I'm not going to pull you down where I am. Amen? So, Heavenly Father, we thank You, God. We just pray to God, Lord, that we just learn to walk in the Spirit, to learn to reflect and to concern ourselves with You and be aware of Your presence right here, every moment, every day, wherever we are. Lord, and to learn to ask for Your help and to Your strength. Lord, You says, ask. Ask. You shall receive. We ask in the Spirit. We ask things of the Spirit, not based upon my ego, but based upon the Spirit, God. And those certain things shall come to pass. Lord, we thank You. We give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You can let heat right away. Amen.